This is Doug Miller. Persecution. The persecution of believers. It's a real thing. It's going on right now. And every one of us needs to think about this and pray that when it comes to us, as it must, we will glorify God. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back once more with the Word of God in hand. And for those of you who were listening last week, you will remember that I began the program talking about persecution and got into it at great length and talking about the necessity for persecution and why we should be looking for this and how God, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus, will suffer persecution. Well, we're in the fourth chapter of Acts, and what I had in mind to talk about was the punishment that the disciples got into when they started preaching openly in the name of Jesus Christ. But I kind of got sidetracked and didn't actually get into that. So we'll take it up today. The Lord kind of led me off in another direction, and he has a way of doing that, and that's however I'm led, that's how I want to go. So at any rate, we'll begin today in the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, and I think we will indeed see Peter and John come under some pretty harsh persecution because of their faith and because of publicly proclaiming the Lord Jesus. So come along, bring your Bibles. Acts 4, verse 11. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. And we are utterly and absolutely dependent on you, our listeners, for standing by us in this faith ministry. We have no advertising budget. We're not going to have one. We do not use fancy stationery. We're not going to use it. We keep our overhead low. It's going to keep on being low. We are not supported by any denomination or any group out there. We're not going to be, because there are no strings attached to us. We're going to tell the truth as God gives us grace to see the truth. And we're not going to be answerable to a bunch of guys who say, "I didn't like what you said last time." Well, if you didn't like what I said last time, turn the radio off. But a lot of people did like what I had to say, and that's why they're turning their radios on. Okay. Love to hear from you, those of you who are listening. If you don't like what I say, well, don't turn your radio off. Write me a letter and tell me what's wrong with it. Maybe I'll agree with you. I have been known to make mistakes. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Also, we've been telling you, and we will continue to tell you from now on until the event, about a month from now, April 16, a Saturday, we will be, we Dialogue, along with me and Mark Hitchcock, who is the pastor at Faith Bible Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. We will be at Camp Klassen down in the Arbuckle Mountains for a day-long seminar on the subject, "Are We Living in the End Times?" This is one you can't afford to miss, friends. Mark it down on your calendar. We will kick it off at 10 o'clock Saturday morning. There will be food to eat, and we will spend the day together. Like to see you down there. We even get Paul Sublett to come along with us. Okay. Let's see, Acts 4:11. The last time we saw Peter begin his sermon by saying to these men who demanded in, by whose authority are you doing these things? We saw Peter say, if you're talking about the healing of this crippled man, I'll tell you the authority. It's in the by the authority and by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now that, friends, I want to tell all of you out there. I don't care who you are or what you are. You can be Jewish, you can be Muslim, you can be atheistic. I don't care. You might even be a Baptist. I don't care who or what you are. You could be a Methodist. There is no higher authority than Jesus Christ. He said at the end of Matthew 28, at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, all authority is given me in heaven and in earth. All of it. I've got it. There is no higher authority. I mean, you could say, well, I'm here, the President of the United States sent me. Listen, friends, President of the United States and the Premier of Russia and the Prime Minister of the Republic of China or whatever title you are, the People's Republic or whatever, they are all going to bow the knee to Jesus of Nazareth. This humble carpenter is no longer the humble carpenter. He is glorified at God's right hand in eternal, immortal, everlasting life, and he has sent forth his Holy Spirit, and he will indeed ultimately reign, and every knee will bow to him. Muhammad will go down on his face before him. The Buddha will go down on his face before him, just like Dagon, the false god of the Philistines, went down broken before the Ark of the Covenant back in the book of Judges. You remember that one? Back when they are not in the book of Judges, but in the book of 1 Samuel, when the ark was taken into the temple of Dagon. But I digress. Let's look at the rest of Peter's sermon here. He said, you crucified him. And this, verse 11, is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. How do you like that one? The Lord Jesus quoted this. This is from Psalm 118. The Lord Jesus quoted it in Matthew 21. Haven't you ever heard this one, said the Lord Jesus? The stone which the builders rejected. Rejected is worthless, is the real meaning of the Greek in this. They didn't like it. They set it aside. It's the chief cornerstone. You crucified him. He is back from the dead with power and glory, and he has become the head of the corner. Now look at Peter's assertion in verse 12. And I want to say something about this even before I read the verse. In the fourth chapter of John, and you've heard me talk about this before here on Dialogue, fourth chapter of John, the Lord Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman at the well. She tried to draw him into a religious discussion. Well, we worship God in this mountain here. You Jews say the temple down in Jerusalem is the place to worship him. Woman, he said, the day is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship neither in this mountain nor in a temple in Jerusalem, but in spirit and in truth. And then he went on and said, you don't know who or what you worship. You are in ignorance. We know who we worship, because salvation is of the Jews. Did you hear that? That's Jesus talking. I merely repeated it. And for those of you who are out there deluding yourself with the notion that it doesn't matter how you come, oh, however you want to come, that's fine. For those of you who believe this, that it doesn't matter, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever read the story of the crucifixion and how that the Lord Jesus, before he was crucified, went out to the Garden of Gethsemane and got down before his Father and prayed, and his sweat was falling down like great drops of blood to the earth, and he prayed, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. The cup was not his death by crucifixion, but the going under the judgment for the penalty of the sins of the world and having the sins of the world heaped on him and carrying and bearing that heavy load that none of us could have borne. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? If there's another way, Father, let this cup pass from me. What's the answer that he got back? No other way. No other way. If you could get to heaven by just trying to live a good life as best you could, if you could get to heaven by believing in the five pillars of Islam and going on pilgrimages and giving away alms, if you could get to heaven by meditating in some Buddhist temple, if you could get to heaven by keeping the Boy Scout law and just being an honest, good guy, if it didn't matter, why in the world do you think God, the Father, would ever have let his Son go through what he went through on Calvary? If there had been another way. Friends, there is no other way. And you will either come through Jesus Christ or you will not come at all. And it is just that simple. Did you hear that? Look at what Peter says in verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is not only of the Jews, but it is through the Jewish Messiah. And that's it, pure and simple. And there is no other way. Now, once again, you'll either come this way or you will not come at all, and you will find yourself on the outside looking in on that great coming day, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and friend, it'll be too late then. You had better pay attention to what I am saying to you right now. And for those of you who don't like it, who like to believe in some good, all-inclusive God who doesn't really demand anything of you, and you can just do whatever you want to and it'll come out fine in the end. Friend, it's not coming out fine in the end. There is salvation in no other name under heaven but the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died for us on Calvary and was buried and rose again. You see what Peter says here? Well, now these Jews, they may not have liked it. And some of you Jews listening to me may not like it. But you had better listen to a man right now who, if there's anyone out there who has a greater love and respect for Jews and for the Jewish people and for the people who gave us Christ Jesus and our Bible, I don't know who it would be other than me. If there's anyone who has any greater love for you, I don't know who it would be. You're listening to a man here who loves and respects you as Jews with all of the love and respect I can muster, and I love you enough to tell you the truth. You're not coming by the way of Moses and the law. You can't keep the law anyway. You never have. You will either come through Jesus Christ or you are in for a great and a sad awakening in that great coming day. Well, look at the 13th verse of Acts 4 here. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Now, I want to go back and look at this 13th verse a little bit. If you could read this in the Greek, and I can in my own fumbling, weak, and confused way, but I can read it okay. If you could read this in the Greek, you're in for a real surprise. This word here in Greek, in the 13th verse, when they saw these men, it's not just that they were ignorant. The word is agrammatoi. Agrammatoi. They were illiterate. Peter and John couldn't read and write. And they were not only agrammatoi, they were idiotai. We get our word idiot from it. Now, it didn't mean the same in the Greek and to the Jews of those days that it means to us today. It means that they were laymen. These men were not educated men. People who could read and write back in those days were the exception rather than the rule. Most people were illiterate. You say, well, I've got the Bible here, and it's got two letters written by Peter and three letters and a gospel written by John and the apocalypse written by John. You're telling me they were illiterate? Sure. Sure. These were dictated letters, unless somehow they had learned to write by the time they wrote them. But at the time, the Word of God is very clear on this one. These men were not learned, educated, sophisticated, complicated men. What does this say to those of you who are listening to me? Will you listen to me closely? Some of you who are listening to me, most of you, you've never been to a seminary. You have never been to ordained. Well, the greatest and the most powerful preachers and teachers that I have ever known in my life, and the people who changed my life, and I could just go down the row and list them by name, most of these people never went to a seminary and were not ordained. They were just what you call laymen, and that is the word that they were, when it says here, and they were ignorant men. It's that word, idiotai, just it means laymen. These guys were fishermen. They were just ordinary people. Those of you who are listening to me, you listen closely. You want to be used of the Lord. What these scribes and Pharisees, they took notice of them that they had been with Jesus. Huh, how about that one? I don't care who or what you are. You can give your life to the Lord, and you can get into this word, and you can begin studying this word, and you can go forth with power, and people can say, you know, I don't know what it is about him. I don't know what it is about her. I guess it's just that they've spent a lot of time with the Lord Jesus and in his word. But, you know, that individual has got power. I can remember back, I was in the little meeting my wife and I are in. We had old Jim Elliott down there with us back in the mid 50s. Jim was in the Wycliffe Summer Institute down in Norman at OU, and he was in this little meeting down there. And a friend of mine, Carlton Jones, told me about Jim. He said, "You know that Jim Elliott?" He said the Lord really had hold of him. He said, "Now I'm telling you." He really had hold of him, and he emphasized that. You know, Jim Elliott was not ordained. Yeah, he'd been to college, but he had not been to a seminary. He went to Wheaton. He was never in a seminary. But he was a man whose life was given over to the Lord, and the Lord really had hold of him. And everyone who knew him would say that of him, and I knew a lot of people who knew Jim. Now listen. Whoever you are, whatever you are, wherever you are, you get with the Lord if you're saved. If you're not saved, then you need to get saved. But if you are saved, you give your life over to the Lord. And you spend time with him, and you get with him, and you stick your face into this word of God, open it up, and put your nose up against those pages, and you read, and you pray. And I don't care if you're a layman. I don't care how well educated you are. You spend time in this word, and one of these days people are going to say, you know, I don't know what it is about that guy or that woman. But when they talk, I can tell this is not your ordinary run-of-the-mill person. Well, what was the answer that these scribes and Pharisees had for him? They had no answer. Look at at verse 14. The man was standing with them. They could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But look at the boldness of Peter and John. Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them that they let them go, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God. For that which was done, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Now, first take note. This persecution that these men are undergoing, it's just beginning now. And at first, it just begins with threats, doesn't it? They haven't really suffered any physical harm or hurt or pain or anything yet. And this is how the enemy will begin it. He'll begin with threats. If I can threaten them and make them shut up, fine. Because whatever the enemy wants to do, he wants to present himself as a sophisticated, loving, friendly thing. He doesn't want to get downright nasty, which he is. And he is unclean, and he is evil and wicked, and he will not stop or hesitate at killing and murder. But it never begins that way. It just begins by threats. They couldn't say anything against him. The people saw what had happened, and so they just threatened him. Don't be out here preaching anymore. Well, Peter and John are not buying any of it, are they? Look at these men. You got to love these guys, particularly when you think of what they were. Old Peter, you know, it hasn't been many weeks before, you know, a few months ago, that he was running for his life and denying any connection with the Lord Jesus at all. Now here he stands before the Sanhedrin and says, look, guys, you're going to have to figure this out for yourself. We have got a commandment from God. Now we can do one of two things. We can either obey God or we can obey you, but we can't do both because what you're telling is not of God. Now these guys... they probably wouldn't have liked that because they no doubt thought that everything they were doing was of the Lord. Well, when you are coming out against the gospel and trying to stop the gospel from being spread, and when you are trying to convince people that Jesus is not the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he didn't really die for our sins, that there are other ways into heaven and to please God, and that God is somehow pleased by your good works, that's right out of the pit, friends. That has nothing to do with God or what God is doing. And Peter and John have got a clear commandment from God the Son who said, you go out there and you preach and you teach. And when they went and when they got back to their own company, they told them all that had gone on here. And let's see what happens. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. I'm in verse 24 now. And said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage? Look at him quote God's word back to him. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? This is the second psalm, incidentally. The kings of the earth stood up. Their rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. That, once again, is the second psalm that they are quoting back to God. I love it. And you know the Lord loves it. The Lord loves, I am convinced, loves it when in our prayers we quote back his word to him, because you know why? That shows the importance we put on that word and that we believe that word and that God is going to fulfill his word. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. And absolutely it's true. And they quote it right back to him. What a wonderful prayer this is. They go right before God. Well, that's all we'll have time for this time. See you next week. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue. Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.